I think that the military is a bit perplexed on how to handle this. They didn't expect to have these massive protests, for sure.
We have the latest on the military takeover of Myanmar. This is Wednesday, February 17th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, Google will pay an Australian company for its news. A move by the World Health Organization could expand COVID vaccination worldwide. We explore the now blurred line between politics and entertainment, and a new line of toys is teaching children many new things. That and more on today's VOA Asia. Nationwide protests continue Tuesday in Myanmar despite a shutdown of the internet for a second consecutive night. Protesters blocked off the street in front of the country's central bank in Yangon despite the increasing presence of military vehicles on the street the day before. Dozens of Buddhist monks took part in Tuesday's protest marches in Yangon. Phil Robertson is Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch's Asia Division. I spoke with him from Bangkok, where he's been following the happenings in Myanmar.
We've seen very little violence so far. I mean, we've seen a number of cases where police have used excessive force and lethal force. There was overnight some violence against protesters up in the north in Kachin State and Michina, where they surrounded a power plant. They were concerned that the military might shut off the electricity. The military then fired rounds in the air and may have used rubber bullets against the protesters as well. But we still see people going out on the street in very significant numbers every day. The protests are continuing. The so-called civil disobedience movement, or the CDM, is expanding with more and more people refusing to go to work. And I think that, the message to the Myanmar military from the people of Myanmar is, hey, we're not going to go along with this. We're not going to allow you to drag us back to the years of military dictatorship. We had five decades of that, and we're not going back.
In your opinion, are these protests having an effect on the military as far as how they react to them?
Well, I think that the military is a bit perplexed on how to handle this. They didn't expect to have these massive protests, for sure. What they expected was they were going to be able to lock up a number of the NLD leaders, including Aung San Suu Kyi, run them into sort of made up court trials, sentence them, perhaps bar the party, and then basically rig the rules so that the next time they have an election, the military wins. The mass opposition that has come up so quickly is something that I think the military is still grappling with. What they're doing is they're busy amending laws to give them more legal weapons. For instance, changes to the penal code that are going to allow for 20 years imprisonment for obstructing the military or causing problems for the security forces. A possible cybersecurity law, which is a despot's dream, something that really is among the worst we've seen in quite some time, and other actions to try to create a legal toolbox that they will be able to use to arrest and imprison significant numbers of people. And we're seeing also a widening dragnet. Now over 420 people have been arrested since the coup. That includes National League for Democracy legislators, elected members of parliament, various government officials, but also civil society activists, a number of journalists, a number of Buddhist monks, and others. And we expect that those numbers to continue to climb.
The United States, I believe, is still the only nation to have applied sanctions after this coup. Why is that?
Well, I think the U.S. Moved quicker than most. The United States, in the form of the Biden administration, was very quick off the start. It is an action to have targeted sanctions against top military leaders and also against some of the military companies that operate in Burma under the control of the military and pour their profits back into the military. But we also understand that the European Union will be meeting this coming week amongst its member states to discuss sanctions, and we expect that there will be progress made there. And, of course, New Zealand has also done the needful in terms of travel bans and ending assistance to the military government as well.
There's been a major development as far as the arrest of Myanmar's ousted civilian government leader Aung San Suu Kyi. We continue with our conversation with Phil Robertson momentarily. Stay with us. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. The South Korea Intelligence Agency claims North Korea launched a cyber attack on U.S. drug maker Pfizer to steal the company's COVID-19 vaccine data. First batch of vaccine arrives in New Zealand as Auckland shuts down after new cases of coronavirus are reviewed. In India, coronavirus infections plummet to about 11,000 cases a day, compared to a peak of nearly 100,000 in September. At least 42 die after a bus drives into a canal in India. The UN says targeted killing of journalists, activists spike after Afghan peace talks begin. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. There had been reports that Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi was to be tried Tuesday after she was detained by the military coup that had put her into detention in her residence, but that didn't happen. We continue our conversation with Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch's Asia Division.
The latest we heard today was a surprise start to their trial. Originally, Aung San Suu Kyi's lawyer had been informed on Monday that the start of the trial would be postponed to Wednesday. However, today he learned, much to his surprise, that the trial was proceeding. By the time he got to the court, it was already over. It was basically an hour-long video session. And what we learned was Suu Kyi is not only charged with the importing walkie-talkies charge, which is ludicrous. And in fact, those walkie-talkies belong to her security detail from the Ministry of Home Affairs, which is run by the military, but also that she's been hit with a second charge under the Natural Disaster Act, which is the law that is frequently used to prosecute people for violating COVID-19 restrictions. We don't know the exact parts of the charges of, you know, what she did. But this is the same charge that has been leveled against President Win Myint, that, you know, he basically greeted a group of supporters when they stopped by his residence. You know, it's ludicrous. I mean, this is just manufactured, you know, politically motivated charges that the junta is using against these two to keep them on ice. But the problem is that this trial may take 6 months to a year. So we expect that, you know, Suu Kyi and other top leaders are all going to be prosecuted on some ridiculous charges that will then be used to justify further actions against them.
China today seemed to step back a little bit as far as their support. There are some reports that China was supporting the coup, and now they're saying maybe no. What do you know about that?
Well, there's been a lot of chatter on social media in Myanmar, and I will say that the Twitter sphere in Myanmar has really taken off. I mean, it is growing exponentially day by day, alleging that China was behind the coup, China organized the coup, China is, you know, bringing in weapons, or China's bringing in internet blocking technology, you name it. The Chinese ambassador stepped out to say that, you know, they weren't happy with what has happened either, but that, you know, he and the Chinese government will deal with whoever's in place. The reality is that China did spend a lot of time reaching out to Aung San Suu Kyi when she was the head of government. They've also maintained relations, albeit somewhat mixed, with the military. China is prepared to deal with whoever in Myanmar is prepared to guard their economic interests. And that's particularly the Chinese-Myanmar Economic Corridor, which is a major Belt and Road Initiative project that the Chinese are funding. That's what matters to China. It's that their interests are preserved. And if their interests are preserved by the military, then I assume they're going to continue to defend the military at the UN Security Council and other international forums.
Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch's Asia Division, joining us via Skype from Bangkok. Happening now in Asia, Japan will kick off its COVID-19 vaccination program Wednesday amid concerns that a shortage of special syringes could lead to the waste of millions of doses of Pfizer vaccine. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The information technology giant Google has agreed to pay an Australian media company to host news material ahead of a planned mandatory bargaining code. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Google's deal with Seven West Media, which publishes the Perth-based West Australian newspaper and other titles, is the first of seven such arrangements the tech giant is expected to make in Australia. A law being introduced this week in federal parliament in Canberra would require large technology companies to pay to use Australian news stories. The legislation would make Australia the first country to force big tech firms to pay for news content. Google, which had called the law unworkable, and Facebook have threatened to downgrade their services to Australians or even walk away. They've argued that by using stories from other publishers, they generate more internet traffic for the websites run by traditional media outlets. But in an apparent softening of that stance, Google has reached an agreement with Seven West Media, reportedly worth $23 million a year. Belinda Barnett is a lecturer in media at Swinburne University of Technology, a public research university based in Melbourne. She believes it's a good result for the Australian company.
It does sound like they've come up with a fairly lucrative deal for them, around 30 million Australian, but that figure hasn't been confirmed yet. Seven West owns quite a lot of regional outlets as well, so it has the potential to benefit the regional news outlets that it owns and the journalists employed by them.
The Australian government said a deal with Facebook was very close. As their advertising revenues collapsed, traditional broadcasting and publishing companies have for years complained that social media platforms have benefited from their quality reporting without paying for it. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. A court in Bangladesh sentenced to death five members of an Islamist militant group Tuesday for killing a U.S. blogger critical of religious extremism 6 years ago. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. The World Health Organization announced Monday it has approved two versions of the AstraZeneca Oxford COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use, action that will boost global supplies in coming weeks. The WHO said the vaccines are safe for those 18 and older and will be distributed through the organization's COVAX vaccine sharing initiative targeting middle and low-income countries. The approval allows countries to speed up domestic regulatory approval to import and administer the vaccines. Also Monday, Britain began a quarantine program for travelers arriving from 33 red list countries determined to be at high risk for COVID-19, all part of its effort to keep variant strains of the coronavirus out of the country. The coronavirus causes the COVID-19 disease. Under this program, anyone entering Britain is required to spend 10 days quarantined in a hotel room. Arrivals from countries not on the list are required to quarantine at home for 10 days, and take two tests for COVID-19. Meanwhile, with the rate of new infections declining and as more of its citizens are being inoculated, a growing list of places is beginning to relax restrictions imposed to blunt the recent surge of new cases. Hong Kong announced Tuesday that it will ease restrictions beginning Thursday, allowing beauty salons, theme parks, movie theaters, and sports facilities to resume operating while extending how long restaurants and bars can stay open. Happening in Asia, South Korea's military said on Tuesday it had captured a North Korean man who crossed the heavily fortified border between the two countries and that they were investigating whether he tried to defect. Stay with us for all of the latest news from and about Asia at voanews.com and all of our digital platforms. Students chanted slogans outside the Delhi police headquarters Tuesday, demanding the release of a 22-year-old environmentalist accused of sedition for an online document in support of farmers' protest. Megan Revelle reports.
Protests in India over the arrest of an environmental activist with ties to Greta Thunberg are now widening to include student groups. Disha Ravi is the leader of the local arm of Thunberg's advocacy group and is accused of sedition. Police say she created and shared an online toolkit used to stir violence in Delhi last month during the ongoing farmers' protests. Her supporters say she was just providing an information pack about the protests, which erupted late last year over agricultural reforms.
We still live in a democracy. There are democratic procedures in a democracy that the police have to follow. And I want to ask a simple question. If someone raises their voice, if someone writes in favour of the farmers, on what grounds do they become a traitor?
Ravi's arrest comes at a time when the government faces allegations that it is suppressing dissent, a charge it denies. Police said Ravi's detention was part of an investigation into the violence that took place on January 26th. Thousands of farmers tore down barricades in Delhi on India's Republic Day, storming the historic Red Fort and raising religious flags. Meanwhile, the farmers' protests continue, with thousands camping on the outskirts of the capital.
That was Reuters correspondent Megan Revelle. The line between politics and entertainment is increasingly blurred in America, where a former reality TV star recently served as president, and entertainment has become more political. The content people choose to watch and listen to reflects a politically divided country. And as VOA's Elizabeth Lee shows, the division often cuts across families.
Nate Padgett lives more than 2,000 kilometers away from his younger brother Hayden. Their political views are just as far apart.
We rarely see eye to eye on policy.
The brothers grew up in a Republican home, but when Nate came home from college during one holiday,
we got into an argument about politics, and that was when we all realized, he is not like us.
The brothers' opinions on entertainment mirror their political views. Nate, a Democrat, enjoys shows and music with themes he agrees with.
I don't necessarily seek out artists because of their political leaning, but I will say that I find myself gravitating towards like songs that have a political or social message that I agree with.
For programs on TV, Hayden Padgett does not like shows with an agenda.
Where I start to censor myself and what I watch is when I feel like I'm being preached to about politics.
But Hollywood is putting more social commentary in its shows, which becomes political, says University of Southern California professor Christina Bellantoni.
You're seeing a real effort to include diversity of storyline that has permeated shows that more people on the left watch. There are writers' rooms in LA who are attempting to do this and really influence that.
Sporting events have also seen infusions of politics.
Colin Kaepernick has become this lightning rod, whereas sports used to be a pretty unifying thing.
In 2016, American football player Colin Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem to protest police brutality against minorities. Many professional players followed his lead.
I thought, great, that's really good. My problem with Colin Kaepernick was not that he was kneeling. It was that he started kneeling and stopped playing well.
Political passions grew. Some protested Kaepernick's act of protest.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out.
Donald Trump amplifies everything. He has from the very beginning. He's someone that understands mass media. He could motivate people to boycott or support something if they agreed with him politically.
I frankly don't want either our sports players or our entertainers to really tell me their political opinions.
Bellantoni says a new president does not mean entertainment will be less divisive, especially when there are more ways of consuming content than ever before.
You can, you know, vote your voice with your click of your remote control. The financial incentive for division is good for everyone. It's good for political consultants. It's good for social media companies.
She says many Americans who say they're tired of politics reinforce divisions with the choices they make.
Particularly when it comes to their own social circles and starting to associate more with people that have the same political views they do. And then that really narrows the focus of what they consume.
The Padgett brothers are able to step outside their social bubble and discuss politics with each other.
I would hope that we leave those conversations more thoughtful.
It helps us both see the other side better and then therefore have better opinions, be more informed, understand other people more.
Brotherly understanding at a time when understanding the other side is not easy. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
A group of 9 Hong Kong pro-democracy activists went on trial Tuesday for taking part in an unauthorized massive anti-government protest in 2019. The activists, who include 82-year-old Martin Lee, media tycoon Jimmy Lai, and Lee Kwak Hung, commonly known as Long Hair, are accused of organizing or participating in the August 18, 2019 protest, which drew more than a million people. 7 of the activists entered not guilty pleas, 2 pleaded guilty. We continue on VOA Asia. A slew of attractive toy robots on the market today are teaching children important language and science, technology, engineering, and math skills, all keeping them entertained. VOA's Julie Tambo has more.
Aveline Ernst Murphy is being entertained while getting an education. The 4-year-old is interacting with a toy robot called Royby that's teaching her language and science skills.
The lessons it's teaching, the content it is teaching my daughter, is very supportive for her development.
The robot, powered by artificial intelligence, is designed to educate children ages 3 to 7 with daily lessons, conversations, and songs.
I love Royby because she sings to me and she loves telling me stories.
Early education is the key to development, says Royby's founder, Elna Saroff.
At least 250 million children globally are at risk of not reaching their potentials by age 5 because education is one size fits all. They don't get enough attention, personalized attention.
Robotic toys that adapt as a child grows can provide a more personalized education.
We're in a modern age these days, and everything's becoming automated. And we want kids to stay ahead in STEM education. This is the future.
Wong's company makes fully programmable robotic toys with voice command to promote science learning.
We believe the future lies in our children being educated and finding interest in STEM education. And Robison wants to accomplish that by making it fun to learn with robotics.
A promising concept for young users like little Aveline and her soon-to-be-born baby sister.
I love the Royby robot so much, I went ahead and bought a second one for the child that I will be having soon.
W-X-Y-M-B.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can like us on Facebook, VOA Asia, follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia, and you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibel, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please be safe and enjoy the day ahead.